You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New York City After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New York City After Show.
Hey, everybody. Bing is for doing, and we are here doing another AfterBuzz After Show for the Real Housewives of New York City. I feel like we're in Disneyland.
I was just going to say that.
Are we in Main Street Disneyland right
like,
now?
I feel like I'm on the Peter Pan ride, specifically.
This is the absolute wrong song for New York Housewives, but I appreciate it. I like the energy.
Good effort.
Thank you.
This is the Real Housewives. No, this is the Desperate Housewives. The Housewives that started the Real Housewives. Homage.
Right. Well, even still too innocent for Desperate Housewives. Yeah. But yes. Welcome, everyone. We are buzzing about Real Housewives of New York City, and I am here with three wonderful co-hosts. To my left.
Hi, everybody. I'm Yermon Gur.
And I'm Anna Koppel.
And I'm Molly Harper.
And we are official. We are doing episode number 2 of season 5 with the pretty much brand new cast of The Real Housewives. Last week, I know I was a little trepidatious about the new cast. And this week, I think I'm starting to settle in with the new ladies and feel a little bit more at home. How did
Absolutely.
You feel the energy of the show was? Was there any meshing? Do you think we were building on anything interesting?
I mean, we're definitely building, but I think there's... I feel like the show opened with this dinner between Heather and Aviva, and I feel like, you know, they went to go kiss hello and ended up, like, smacking faces.
I noticed that.
Yeah, and I feel like that was just, like, really...
It's because their heads are so big.
Right, yeah. Well, but I feel like it was really, like, indicative of everything that's going on. Like, it's awkward. It's still awkward. They're just getting to know each other.
Yeah. I mean, their energy together is awkward, and you can sense that.
I'm surprised I didn't cut that out.
Yeah, I know. It's,
I actually rewinded it this one to go, wait, did that just happen?
They probably kept it in there for exactly that reason,
oh my God.
It could provide some sort of comedy. I don't know. I agree with all of you in the sense that... that they are still getting used to each other, but I was telling Anna earlier that it's definitely not preventing me from hastily creating opinions about everything that's going on in the show. So actually, Phil, you might want to keep your hand ready on that buzzer that's like the opinions expressed, or not necessarily those you have to... Just keep your hand on that buzzer, because I'm just going to...
He already has it there because I'm here.
Thank you. I've just got a bunch of those tonight, so just keep your hand on it.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited to hear what those are, because those make me really excited when people have those kind of crazy opinions.
My feeling
Wait, why
over
are they crazy?
Well, my feeling tonight over like
they require a buzzer.
Yeah, we're allowed to have opinions, right?
Right. No? Yes, absolutely.
Okay. But I thought that like it was very disjointed. Like each woman had its own had her own story in this week's episode, mm-hmm. but I didn't really think there was too much theme or tying it all together. There wasn't like really that much drama this week.
I think the theme was still introducing everybody.
I think so. It was like part 2 of the introduction. They should have done a 2-hour pilot.
They definitely should have, because you kind of want to get out of that and move into the meat.
Yeah.
The meat of the show. We met in the opening scene at dinner. We met Aviva we had already met her husband in the last show, Reed. And then we also met Heather and her husband, Jonathan Schindler. Mm-hmm. The first thing I thought was like, oh my God, Schindler's List. Yeah, and then they brought it up.
This poor guy. How many times in a day do you think he gets asked like, oh my God, like the Schindler?
Of the list. Yeah. But the thing is, she had said her husband was Jewish. And I remember that Schindler from the movie is not Jewish. So I thought, okay, well, it couldn't be the same story because the guy with the list of Schindler guy.
Right.
The list wasn't Jewish. Anyway, he's in commercial real estate. And they seemed, you know, like functional, normal. And that's what kind of weirds me out when I see the women with their husbands, it seems kind of normal, and then them together. Yeah. How does this happen? How does this transition go from being kind of normal with a husband and children to, like, just kind of kooky and crazy with other people?
Wait, did that dinner make it sound like they were normal to you? Did you get the feeling that when the four of them got together,
I
they were normal?
No,
not together. I'm saying as husband and wife. They seem to have
the
functional
drama
relationships.
Is less.
Yeah. The drama is less when the husband
when the
and wife are together.
Yeah, I mean, we had Aviva saying that she couldn't function without Reed and that he's her, like, breath. That's what she said, literally. And I'm like, well, he's your third leg as well.
I think the husbands are relegated to damage control, as I'm sure husbands are going to have to be on these kinds of shows where these females are showcased. And that's what Jonathan had to end up doing anyways when Heather spilled the beans about what... Aviva's ex-husband, Harry had slept with who, and the first thing out of Jonathan's mouth is like, check, thank you, check, please, which it immediately cut out that what was about to be this very awkward blow up of people looking at each other for extended periods of time due to editing.
Yeah, well, speaking of awkward, I'm actually going to say thanks to everyone listening on iTunes. We really appreciate it, and if you guys want to spread the love with your friends or the diseases that we might have, spread them. They're good diseases. Go on, Phil, I'm not calling you a disease, but
nice,
just spread
Phil.
Them.
Keep
I'm always
coming.
Awkward with that. Yeah, keep them
that
coming.
That was totally a natural segue.
It was. Wasn't
really
it?
Nice transition.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening on iTunes, guys. You guys are awesome. But so we started at the first dinner, and then another, we had a lot of meals today, as we discussed.
Nobody eats at these meals. But
no, of course not.
They sit around a table.
There's barely anyone in the restaurant.
But there is
there.
Pinot Grigio.
There's always
yes.
Pinot Grigio.
Yeah.
There's always Pinot Grigio, as there should be,
the
really.
Whole season's going to be an ad for Pinot.
It's just not a meal without Pinot Grigio.
I love Pinot Grigio. I'm not going to lie.
Then.
I love it.
We moved to Heather's house, which is where she had the party.
And the Berkshires.
And the Berkshires.
Wait, how come every time they say that word, they have to say it like they're British? All of a sudden?
I know.
I'm like, isn't it Berkshires?
Yeah, and it's not. And she said it's not pretentious. Well, then don't say it with an English accent.
Yeah.
But
and Aviva had mentioned that she actually said, we're always looking to freeload.
Yeah, that was a great line.
Yeah.
We're always looking to freeload.
We don't winter in the Hamptons, so we'd love to come to the Berkshires.
Yeah. They do freeload because they don't have a house. They run a house in the Hamptons. I think they're making it pretty clear because from seasons prior, we had Alex, who actually didn't seem to have that much financial...
dollars.
Dollars. She didn't have anything really. Yeah, her house in the first seasons, her house was like dilapidated and falling apart in Brooklyn. Dilapidated. And so anyway, I think maybe, possibly we might see a little bit that Aviva doesn't have as much money as she may look.
She looks gorgeous.
Yeah, she does. She does. But
I realize Aviva's the kind of woman I would like to be. Tall and blonde.
Missing a leg.
Go ahead.
No.
Go ahead and just buzz that thing now, Phil. I don't know. Or option B.
I would like to be Carol. I really would. She's really, except her boyfriend. We'll get to the boyfriend. He's a little 80s rock band.
Yeah, but one thing that I don't think we discussed, but was the main topic of conversation at that dinner between Heather and Aviva, were, you know, they were trying to compare raising children with disability.
Right.
And Aviva brought up her leg again.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, we get it, Aviva.
I thought she was going to bring up...
This one time at band camp.
Yeah. This one time when I had a
leg. Yeah, this one time when I had an accident and I had to lose a leg.
It's like she's going to start every
When she brought that up, I thought she was going to bring up maybe she had a child with a disability. Not that she was the child with a disability.
Right.
And no. She's the spokesmodel for women who've had accidents and then had to lose their leg and become rich heiresses to some fortune of some sort in New York City everywhere. So she gets to give out advice as to how to raise...
She's like a carbon copy of Paul McCartney's wife. Ex-wife.
Kind of.
I mean, kind of. They're tall, blonde.
So she should
like,
go on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, basically.
Like Maria Menounos.
Yeah.
Love her.
But yeah, they had that discussion, and I felt like they had a couple cutaways to Heather functioning with her children in a restaurant really quickly, and Aviva functioning with her children. And when Aviva was with her kids, it was really calm and cool, collected. And they showed Heather, like, put down the spoon or eat with a spoon or please come
chaos.
On do this for me and it was more chaotic. So
I loved it when Heather said and we're pretty much in the middle parents. I'm like, yeah, right. You are not. I could just see her being like a beast of a mom.
And she said that she gives 3 toys a week to her kid at least or
well
something.
She
Is
fails
that
at giving one to, so she says she gives 1 toy a week. She's like, I don't think that's too much. It may not be too much. I mean, again, they live in a slightly different world than most people do. So she gives 1 toy, but then she said she sees like 3 toys that fall in the category of the 1 toy. And then she just loves her son so much that she's just, well, if it's 3 toys, what does it matter if it's 1 toy or 3 toys? So she gives them all 3.
But one toy a week seems like insane to me, even. Isn't that a lot? Anyway.
One, two,
I got a My Little Pony every week, I think.
Really?
Yeah, and my parents were, like, broke. But
probably because they were buying My Little Pony. That's kind of expensive, right?
Probably. But I don't know.
I don't know. I think the thing that was interesting for me was that of all the dirt that we dish out, oddly enough, Aviva's advice wasn't completely out of the realm of good advice.
It wasn't. Right.
It actually really was kind of poignant. And it's like, okay, well, you know, I know that you started out the sentence with this one time when I had an accident and I lost my leg. But what came after it was pretty good advice.
And what was it again?
It was the fact that even if your child has a disability of some sort and you don't spoil them, treat them, all they want to do is be just like everybody else.
Yeah. Well, she also said that Reed is suffering the effects now because she continues to be spoiled.
Right.
Wasn't there a funny comment too? What was she saying? There's like, she said something about, that when they finally had the conversation about how they were all going to go dirt biking. And then Aviva looks to her husband, Reed, and goes, then you can lose a leg and we'll be buddies.
No. That's not how it went. They asked if, but you're close. They asked if he could ride a motorcycle. He's like, yeah, well, you know, what's the worst that could happen?
That's
and Heather said, you could lose a leg. You guys could match.
Yeah.
Heather brought that up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I missed that. It's kind of juicy.
That was nasty. She makes nasty comments.
Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah.
But she did make that pact to not be catty. So.
Yeah.
I just want to point that out.
Dirty lies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dirty lies. Well, so then Heather ends up, since we're reviewing the get-togethers that we had throughout this episode, Heather has in the bookshelves, she has the party to honor her father, which she called an homage. Mm-hmm. And she said her dad didn't want a memorial or anything.
Right.
I like to be cynical. I found it to be oddly charming or heartwarming.
It was.
But did the people there know why they were there? It seemed like surprise, like she was just announcing as they were there, like, everyone, as you all know, my father passed away, and this is actually a party in his honor. It didn't seem like people really knew that or something.
But I feel like that's what she does anyway. Like, you know, we're at a cocktail party. Hey, guys, my dad died, you know? Yeah. So it's kind of her style, and I don't think they were shocked by it.
Right. But since the party was in honor of him, it just seemed like...
I was just waiting for her to tumble over because she was kneeling on top of that stool, and I was like, she's going to lose her balance.
What is she?
Such an awkward pose to be like kneeling on top of a stool while trying to
get it. It doesn't make you that much taller.
No, not really.
To stand on the stool or to stand on the ground.
It actually doesn't make you taller, like, at all.
Right. It actually evens you out because you're on your knees. It just makes up for your legs.
Yeah. That's all it does.
Unless you have really short calves.
She seemed like to be a Aviva. I don't know.
I don't know. That thing, that event was. It wasn't such a bad... I mean,
it wasn't bad.
I myself was a little confused just because me personally, I don't know if I would have given a party, although I know that like in some cultures, like Irish cultures, you don't have a wake or something like that. You have a party. You send them off, you know...
Irish culture.
Isn't it Ireland where you, in traditional Irish culture, where do you don't
I know
have
it's
a,
Mex like it's very popular in like Mexico
wrong.
To like celebrate the dead in more of a party fashion. But
it's,
anyway,
it's very possible I may not know what I'm talking about. But the point is that me
like
personally, I would probably want a more somber affair, and this wasn't really. But then, who am I to judge how they mourn? I find it odd that I'm having trouble, like, figuring out for myself if I like Heather or not, because one minute she says something like, "You could lose your leg, and then you could be buddies," or the next minute she actually has probably an understandable celebration to honor, you know, the memory of her father. They weren't able to have some sort of event prior to that, and that seemed perfectly normal, and they didn't do anything really weird. They just made a toast, everyone drank, had a good time. It was
But isn't it kind of the opposite of what her father wanted? He didn't just say no funerals, he said no memorial, and I feel like it's sort of disrespectful to her father.
Doesn't she mention that her father liked parties?
I think she was just trying to kind of casually be like, and here's to you, Dad. Like, as Kristen said, I don't know if all the guests even knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't think they knew that they were invited to a memorial.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like she just, like, was finding a loophole.
Yeah.
Having a memorial for her father.
Yeah.
You want to hate her so bad on her.
I do hate her, and I'm not ashamed of it.
Okay.
So.
Well,
well, I see. I mean, I see what you're saying, and I think women like that would want to be on a reality show look for ways to get a little attention, and and it looked like a little bit of a way to get attention. Like, here's an excuse for me to have a party
in the Berkshires,
and invite all my fabulous friends. You know, story or not, fact or fiction, it's got a little undertone of that to it.
Yeah.
But I did find it oddly endearing, and I liked her sister.
I
liked her sister because she was classier.
No, I'm joking. Because remember when she read the poem that their dad wrote? And she was like, dad was an effing genius.
No, I like that. That's what I like.
Excuse my French.
Excuse my French. Yeah. I was like, oh, God.
Why is she a 50-year-old boxer all of a sudden from Brooklyn?
Yeah, and this one time at Bandcamp where I lost my freaking leg.
That's how she talked.
Ding,
come
ding.
On. Truth talk. She did. She really did.
Well, I kind of liked her when she said that because it was like, you know, everyone's like, oh, he was a sweet man. He was a sweet man. But it's like, fuck that. He was a good fucking dude and I miss him and whatever. It was like, to me, a way to express like your passion about the fact that you loved your dad and that you thought he was talented or whatever. But I liked her because she cried, whereas Heather ended up crying.
Was pretending to cry.
Yeah, she was faking during the poem.
Yes.
She was faking during the poem, but then she was crying in the
That's what I was going to say. In the interview, doesn't she get teary-eyed?
That seemed more genuine to me. But during that poem read, it was like...
Heather's way less obnoxious when she's with her family or with her friends, like up in the Berkshires. But I think when she's around the women... the other housewives, she puts on this persona where she does all the nose squinting, which we talked about last
week. I would agree.
And it's so annoying, but I didn't find her off-putting then. That was like the only 2-minute segment of the whole show I didn't find her off-putting.
Yeah.
Maybe you're onto something. Maybe something happens to her when she's around the other girls.
Well, because she's not as pretty as the other ladies, so I think she has to try harder.
She's not as pretty as her sister either. She's unfortunate. It's unfortunate for her.
As we stated before, looks are... total game when we're discussing the show because it is the show. No, this is the kind of show.
Roughness.
No, nope. This is the kind of show where you talk about looks. It is. we didn't have women from the show at that party, so it was pretty much just Heather's family.
It's all about Heather.
Right.
It's just probably getting to know Heather segment.
Right. We had a lot of those, I feel like, though.
Yeah.
Gotten to know her.
So Aviva and Ramona meet up later on for dinner, and I think Aviva, although I like her a lot, I think she's an instigator.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
And I think she likes to play innocent when she isn't, because her and Ramona were discussing Luann telling the girls at lunch about the argument, or about the quote-unquote threat, And Aviva said, I didn't have the heart to tell Ramona that all the girls knew. But it's like, no. You had the heart. You just kind of wanted to keep it from her because it gives you more leverage. It's like if you really, because at the end of their little conversation, she said something, Aviva and Ramona both agreed to be honest with each other.
Yeah, what's the deal with all these packs?
Right. And Aviva cheered. They did a cheers, but yet Aviva wasn't being honest about that. Not everyone, you know, was told.
Right? Well, first of all, wasn't one of your predictions last week that we were going to see some things come out from Aviva that she wasn't all honky-dory?
I think it was.
I think somebody said we're going to find out that. I think it might have been you actually as well. Yeah, you might have said that I think we're going to find out Aviva's not this fantastic person that happens to be the champion of disabilities everywhere.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right. She doesn't necessarily tell her that, all the girls know about it, but she absolutely fishes. I forget the exact line. She totally fishes in the sense that she's like, sitting there, it's like, so what was going on with Luann? That was kind of weird, right? That kind of like backwards way that one tries to get your opinion about something without actually telling you what they're actually thinking.
Right.
She was definitely poking and prodding, and of course, Ramona, went... what do you call it? She just explained herself, and he was like, weird. Meanwhile, she's thinking, like, I know another side of the story. So that's not genuine.
But no, I feel like she wants to be friends with Ramona because, like, Ramona's the one person that hasn't slept with Harry. So,
good point.
Or so we think.
So far.
That's true. But Aviva also said you don't want to get on Ramona's bad side. So I think Aviva's playing her
cards.
She's
like kissing up to her.
Yeah. Because it's like if you get Ramona on you, even though I like Ramona as a character, her demeanor, I like that annoyingness that she has. If you get her going, then it's like it's just going to make you not have the upper hand. I don't know. It's just not a good situation to start at the beginning to get against Ramona.
I'll take it one step further. I think one of the themes that we're going to find out is that Aviva, here's one of those buzzer times. I think Aviva is kind of a brown noser.
Total brown noser.
So she's absolutely playing her cards so that she's kind of brown nosing Ramona and brown nosing, later on in the episode, there's people everywhere she goes. She's like, oh my gosh, you're so fantastic. That looks lovely on you. You're so amazing. Everywhere she goes, everyone around her is fantastic.
Yeah.
Brown people edition.
What? That's what? Racist. What the hell?
I've heard of opinions, but that was. Can I counter buzz?
And I've never seen Phil smile so brightly.
Yeah, seriously.
He's like, this will be inappropriate,
so
but screw it.
Well, since we've kind of transitioned into Aviva, because we have her actually as a whole topic for the show, she is a little bit of a brown noser.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's why I said brown people. Okay.
But still.
I get it now.
That didn't take at all long for either of us.
Aviva, when she met up with Carol in the thrift shop, she was saying to Carol, like, oh my gosh, so how about Luann talking about Ramona? And she was really trying to egg on Carol to start talking some smack. And Carol, you can tell, is just not even aware, really. She just kind of does her own thing and doesn't really respond to it. But she said to Carol, oh my God, you are so cool.
Right.
Cool Carol.
Cool Carol.
Oh my God, I thought they were going to fall in love. I thought some serious lesbionic thing was going to happen between the two of them.
It could still happen.
Lesbionic. You heard it here first. Lesbionic. It's a word.
Lesbionic.
Look it up. Google it.
Lesbionic.
Because she was like, you're so cool. I love your book. I mean, she's been crushing on the woman.
Yeah.
Like hardcore since they met.
Yeah. And everything Carol puts on is, oh my God, you look amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Carol's like, oh honey, try this on. And it was like, I just thought something was.
And Carol,
they were loving each other.
Carol said, what's not to love about Aviva? She's a blonde bombshell, and she's my super fan.
She loves me, so why not?
So the brown nosing is clearly working.
Yeah. And she wanted that jacket that Carol had been wearing at the beginning of the scene. She was like, where's that jacket? It's like she almost wants
to be her.
And then then she go up to the pile of clothes and say, oh, these are good. And Carol's like, that's my pile, like that she has on hold for her to try.
Right. But yeah, and then she came out in the onesie thing or whatever it was.
I actually loved the leopard onesie.
She wore that great.
She did. That's what I'm saying. Again, I would love to be like Aviva. No, I thought she looked awesome in that. And yeah, that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah,
all
right, yeah, she definitely did. So we talked about Aviva having dinner with Ramona. Where else did we see Aviva in this episode? She had, did she have lunch with somebody?
With Ramona.
I was saying that was dinner.
Ramona, she did the shopping.
Because I feel like we saw her more than I am recalling now that I'm looking at my notes.
See, on the one hand, I think that Aviva might be trying to instigate. On the other hand, you know, these women don't know each other very well. So maybe she doesn't know what else to talk about. Like, this is kind of like, they have very little in common at this point.
Yeah.
And maybe she's trying to bring up, I'm just trying to like see the other side of things. Maybe she's just trying to bring up, you know, oh, how about that situation between Luann and Ramona? A, because she doesn't know what else to talk about with them because they're new friends. And B, maybe to feel out how other people feel, because, you know, that's one way to find out if you have similar feelings as somebody, just to kind of feel out their take on a situation. So I don't know 100, like I do see her instigating a little bit, but on the other hand, I'm like, it's so early in the season that she might just be trying to make conversation because she doesn't really know this.
But that's the thing. That's fine, except isn't that a dangerous play?
Kind of like what we're doing right now.
Yeah. That's a dangerous play. Like, I totally get that she's trying to figure out where she fits in all this and trying to become, like, everybody's friend and get to know people. But to do that with the only conversation topic of things about other people, that's a dangerous card to play because you may get called on it at some point.
But her only other card is, I'm missing a leg, and everybody already knows that.
Right.
Maybe she's just boring.
Maybe they're all bored. What is it that they do? What is it that they do besides eat non-existent meals and drink Pinot Grigio? What is it that they're doing?
Right. I mean, when they're not taping. What was Aviva's claim to fame again? I don't know why I forgot, because we went over like all their history last week, and then
I have it.
I don't know why I can't remember. But
I don't remember either.
We did want to talk about Carol and her far-off boyfriend, Russ.
Oh, I really want to talk about this.
Her Aerosmith boyfriend.
Yeah. Aviva, to answer your question, is extremely educated. She has everything from a bachelor's from Vassar, a master's from NYU, and a law degree, but she's pretty much just a mom.
Yeah.
She
I mean, not
that
like
for
being
a whole
just
lot
a mom
of
isn't something. She has, like, I think 4 kids, but she hasn't had a big career.
Okay. This I couldn't remember.
But she's a socialite and attends all the philanthropic events.
What a life.
Yeah.
She probably uses her law degree to make sure that she doesn't get screwed out of anything when needing to process the prosthetics, making sure that they get repaired properly, insurance claims, and so on and so forth. I'm just saying.
Good call.
Thank you.
If she passed the bar.
Okay. Interesting.
We
point.
Don't know about
all
that.
Right. Maybe she wait. Didn't. So you were. Oh, let's get to. We were Carol and
Russ.
Carol and Russ. So, I first of all, let me begin with this. When they get in the car, I'm so sick of hearing people from New York talk about how much they hate Los Angeles. I just want to throw
I'm
that
not,
out there.
I'm not. I never get sick of it.
You never get sick of it.
No.
I'm so sick
Hater.
Of it. Yeah. Yeah, just what did I miss? Nothing.
You know,
like
LA.
Groundhog's Day.
Yeah,
just
you know,
with better
LA.
Weather.
I literally, when he said that, was like, "Amen, brother."
Yeah.
But anyway,
I actually
it's just my own life,
but only because I was in New York last week and I was missing it so much.
So, oh, and interesting. So that song they're talking about.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
His
we'll,
song.
We'll get to that. So that song that she's like, I only want to hear the songs that are about me.
Me.
Oh that are
God.
About me.
It's the first time we saw her really be self, or kind of self-absorbed. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, she's self-absorbed to an extent the whole
yeah,
time, but this was the biggest moment where she was really indulging in herself.
So that she wants men to be obsessed with her emotionally,
mentally,
sexually.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
So that's cool. I understand that, but
she
that
seems really low maintenance.
God. That song to me sounds more like a dig. The lyric is, "I miss being lonely when I'm with you." So yeah, it doesn't sound like a love song to me.
No, yeah, it's like I'm lonely when I'm around you because I want someone else or something.
It's yeah. like yeah, I'd rather be lonely than be with you.
It's awesome. She actually even asked, what do you guys do after the show? And he's like, a lot of times we just travel to the next location. And I'm thinking to myself,
uh-huh.
yeah, after the 30 minutes we're given to bang whoever's in the backstage that's like 20 years old and wants to hang out with
yeah.
us,
yeah.
then
after
we go to the next location. Yeah. Sure. Meanwhile, every rocker's like, no, dude, we totally hang out with chicks after the show.
Yeah. She knows.
And she
has to know.
I mean, I kind of appreciate that on one hand. She's already, you know, she's widowed. It's cool that she's not that concerned with what he's doing, and then when he's there, it's like a relationship of convenience, and if it's convenient for the both of you, then, like, why not?
Yeah,
I don't buy it.
I got too.
I don't buy it. I think that's something that she's saying to as a defense mechanism
yeah.
so that she doesn't, like, if he does move on or if she finds out he is sleeping with other women, she'll be like, I was totally okay with that anyways because we were open.
Well, yeah. then,
I don't
Carol.
Buy that.
Well, then how do
Cole
you explain Carol. What happened at the little couture place that they were trying on stuff with?
Well, I think it's proof. Proof is in exactly what Anna was just saying. You know, she was acting all cool with Aviva, like, yeah, we have an open relationship. I don't care what he does. He can do whatever he wants.
No,
want.
No. I'm
and
talking
then
about...
she's like, I hope he's obsessed with me. I want him to sing songs about me. It's like, she's being...
Yeah,
I'm so sorry to interrupt. I was saying, what I was talking about how she basically hit on that guy who looked like he was 19.
Right.
And then she's like, oh, yeah, my girlfriend, she's a model. I'm like, of course she's a model. You look like a model. And then here's, right. he's like 20 years old, and she's like, I bet that would look amazing
See, I thought
on
that
your
was so,
girlfriend.
I mean, that was, A, obviously so staged, and he was, you know, actor for hire. But
Definitely.
Secondly,
yeah.
I think they were trying
Knowing
to...
No one that handsome is just hanging around.
Well, I don't know. I figure it's New York. It's there. Aren't there models everywhere just gushing out of every orifice?
That doesn't happen in L.A.
No, well,
not where it's Groundhog's Day every day.
You know, on reality
and the only
shows,
person
they
gushing
script
for it is
stuff.
Yeah, most of this is scripted. I was actually on a reality show, which sounds ridiculous, on TLC.
Uh-huh.
And it was a reality show, and it was a script. We followed a script.
Yeah.
And
really?
And I was cast. Everyone else was actually the person they were, but I was cast to be their assistant. Like, I was supposed to actually be there. Like, people thought I was actually their assistant. But I was cast. I mean, it's all very, very scripted. So you can only trust so much of it. It's like, ooh, they just happen to conveniently have the cameras there when someone gets the phone call that this is happening.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, it's
I
very...
I thought that they were.
You're right.
Oh, what's going on?
Well, but I think that they cast these people for who they are, whatever, and then that these certain aspects of their personality are amplified.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. You know, as we see coming up in next week's episode, that Carol is flirting with Mario in front of Ramona, which is...
And she actually
like,
says,
I only
flirt with...
When their wives are there.
Husbands or when their wives are next to
so,
them.
So, yeah,
that's,
like...
Well, that got that going for you.
Yeah, how much attention do you need?
She needs a lot of attention.
And so perhaps that was set up, but it's, you know, to demonstrate this part of her personality, like, I need attention from men who already have a woman because it validates me. So, you know, good for her, but it really like speaks volumes about her intimacy issues and, to be queen of long distance. I don't know if that's something to brag about.
Well, I did just want to say the queen of long distance, well, she's got it down pat because her husband's pretty far away, which sounds horrible.
It's horrible.
But when she said that, that's the thing, though, when people say things like this, I read into everything that everyone says, so that was, like, glowing to me. It's like, you want a long-distance relationship? You got
That's the longest distance.
Literally,
you
know, it's like...
Horrible.
That's horrible, but
it's really,
so true.
Really funny.
I'm going to take this opportunity to let you guys know that if you want to buy anything on Amazon, I was going to say coffin, but I avoided it. Thank you for saying it. That's why I took a long pause. I was like, what exists except coffins? I can't think of anything.
An urn.
An urn. Yes, that's true.
Father's Day gifts.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
Oh,
unless,
coming up.
Yeah. Coffin.
Yeah. Father's Day gifts. So guys, go on Amazon, or go to AfterBuzzTV.com and click on the Amazon logo, and it takes you right to the site. Super easy, and you can buy whatever you need. You can shop without pants. That's what I say. It's always a selling point. That should just be the tagline for Amazon. Shop without pants.
Does it cost you extra?
It doesn't cost you extra, Phil. All you have to do is click on the link, and as long as you got your internet running, you're all good to go.
Holy moly, that's amazing.
Isn't it crazy? We'll be having an infomercial after the show. If you'd like to join us, Phil's going to be wearing one of those ugly sweaters.
With no pants, because that's how you shop Amazon. Right, Phil? Come on, Phil.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, dear.
Well, I did also want to say about her boyfriend, which, getting on the shallow level, he was very Aerosmithy looking. Like, too Aerosmithy looking.
He is right there.
Yeah, it was the whole, like, rocker from, like, the late 80s kind of look. And
oh, he was not cute.
And, yeah, no. And I didn't think his music sounded that great. So.
No, it sounded like it was recorded in, like, a second bedroom of a condo.
Yeah.
I mean, and he rented this car for this shot or something.
Oh, okay, so I want to talk about the car ride.
Yeah.
So he picks her up, and they go on a drive through, it looks like maybe the Upper East or Upper West Side, down through Times Square, like all through town. They never end up anywhere. They're just like going for a drive the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
So pointless. It's like, what are you, tourists? Like, what are you driving around town for? I don't get it.
Well, okay.
They didn't go anywhere.
New York, to drive around New York is fun. One of the best memories of my life was in New York with a comic. We were driving around, and it was like 80 degrees at night, humidity, and there were tons of people, and we had the windows down, and we were cruising to like New York.
Were you,
whatever,
by any chance,
it was
listening
amazing
to a song written about you? Because that's what Carol loves to do.
New York.
Driving around New
me.
York, listening to a song that was written for her about
but
her.
She has money, Kristen. Like, she
that's
can
true.
Go and
that's
do
something
things
that poor people do.
She can do things. She doesn't
like,
have to be like cheap
to drive
New York night.
For free.
The other thing is, he was supposedly leaving the next day. Like, is that's what you want to do together when you have, like, a night together, is just, like, drive around in traffic? Boo. Boo to that. No, thank you.
Yeah, if you have a really successful relationship, you'd probably
like
be,
New
like,
York
inhaling
enough
the same air, having a glass of wine, having a nice meal somewhere. Or,
I go into Pound Town.
I like New York enough that that's exciting to me. But that's, I've also been... Thank you, Phil. Literally, like, best memory of my life. With a comedian who is now passed away.
This is a great song.
Yeah, I'm up at Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow. But I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra. And since I made it here, I can make it anywhere.
Literally the best moment of my life. Thank
I actually went to, I went to New York City and put that song on in my earphone just so I could walk down Madison Fifth Avenue just strutting. I don't know why.
Strutting.
Well, I was there with like a guy from the Bronx. I mean, it was like so New York. But anyway,
well, while we're talking about men and attractive or not attractive,
yes, please.
What? Yes, please. This guy that Sonia, she is so horny.
Yeah.
That bit was awesome from start to finish. Is anyone else with me?
This schlub that comes over.
He kind of reminded me of John Candy.
And she was leaning against the wall like, what's broken?
And her maniacal laugh. Oh, he was like, oh, you would get a dial tone from your ex-husband. She's like, ah! It was crazy.
Sonia, first of all, one word, inappropriate.
Right.
But
two words, annoying and inappropriate.
Annoying and inappropriate. After that segment, honestly, I would have thought that Sonia made herself out to be the kind of woman who's like, she'll have sex with the milkman, the postman, the plumber, the electrician.
She just seemed desperate and pathetic.
Yeah. She found a way to throw in like how she's got skinny jeans on.
Right.
Who
While
says,
she's like bouncing her breasts up and down.
Who says, who mentions the big tits of their assistant with the assistant right there?
So embarrassing.
And the guy's like, yeah, that was this one time. That was... So anyways,
and the poor girl kept going like this, the poor, trying to cover.
And then she does it again. She's like, "Well, you know, you're gonna get that breast. What do you call it? Breast augmentation. She's like, breast reduction. Breast reduction. Sonia.
Yeah.
Ixnay on the talking A or whatever that bird language is. And then she shows the guy. She's like, "Oh my god!" And of course, devastation. They do a quick shot of the ceiling. It's like the paint kind of peeled away a little bit. Meanwhile, I'm thinking there are people who lost homes, entire villages were laid waste to because of things like Katrina. And she's like, "Look at this devastation. Have you seen my skinny jeans?" "Yes." And the guy's like, "Yeah, you guys, we're going to do a pretty kind of a water test. And then you and I should go." God, it was silky smooth from start to finish, that whole interaction.
He didn't even seem into it.
Yeah, I wrote poor Rich. That was my note.
Yeah.
Was he? You guys tell me.
No,
was he gorgeous? She was like, "He's so hot."
I saw where he was kind of like this manly attractive, where it's like almost like scruffy attractive.
Why,
for like
contractor?
An older man. Yeah. I mean,
really?
I mean, yeah. I like guys that kind of look a little bit like scruffy and don't really have it together or something. I don't know. I could see where, like, especially she's lonely. She doesn't have a husband, and you know she's looking for
attention.
I don't
have a husband.
Clearly.
I'm not attracted to him. I wouldn't be like, you know, he was like kept pulling his pants up over his fat ass, and like she was just like, "Oh yeah," leaning up against the wall and laughing like a maniac. It was crazy.
Somebody emailed me saying that last season, she found a cell phone in her toilet, which made her fall in love with her plumber. Do you guys remember that?
Yes, I do.
Cheryl
I do.
Emailed me saying, "What's up with Sonia? Why does she have to fall in love with every man that's hired to work into her house? Remember when she found a cell phone in her toilet, which made her fall in love with the plumber?"
Yeah, she's desperate. She's so desperate, and she likes the attention. And when she fell off that couch thing, it was like, oh, my God, this is like awkward eighth grade dance hitting on style.
I'm just fixing my skinny jeans, she says.
Ooh, I'd love to cook for him in my toaster oven.
Well, then we also saw Sonia. Sonia was just kooky crazy in this episode because we also saw her at the GLAAD Awards.
At the GLAAD Awards.
And she wasn't there when her name was called.
Although,
which,
technically,
I mean,
speaking,
wasn't her
shouldn't
fault.
There have been somebody from the LGBT to actually work the green room and say, "Excuse me, Miss Sonia, you're on in two."
Yeah, like, I don't know why.
You're being called. Instead, she's just sitting there like,
And of course they cut that together perfectly where it seemed like crickets were going on or something.
Yeah.
But you know what? Like, going back to what we were talking about earlier about reality TV is scripted, which I'm so sorry to disappoint you with that information.
Oh my God.
But like, I just felt like that was so incredibly forced and fake. And
it was just
like, no one's going to buy that this actually happened. It just seems so set up to paint the like Sonia's kooky and out of it picture. It's just like, it kind of, to me, it's disappointing as an audience because it's like, you think we're that stupid that we believe that this is real, you know?
Right.
I don't know. That whole segment annoyed me.
Some people may be that stupid. I mean, Ramona asked, "What the hell is the LGBT?" And then this may be scripted because then Sonia was like, "Oh my God, I totally thought it was like bacon, lettuce, tomato or something." I mean, bottom line is that that better be scripted, because otherwise it's not only ridiculous, but it's stupid and, yes, offensive.
For the record, if I was part of the lesbian gay community, I'd be like, can't the transgender kind of have their own community? Like, I don't know. I'm not totally. They're different. I mean,
Phil, where's
different.
The buzzer?
No, that's not a buzzer. That's
a true
statement.
That's true.
It's
that's
like
true.
They're a whole different like genre of stuff. Anyway, I always think that whenever I hear the transgender stuff. We saw when Heather arrived, because there was Heather, Ramona, Sonia, and Carol were at the GLAAD Awards, and Heather didn't really, the way they cut it together anyway, and they didn't make a big deal out of it, but Heather greeted Sonia like, "Hi," and ignored Ramona.
Yeah.
And they didn't touch upon that, but that was just a little observation, because Ramona kind of stood there with a drink like, with her googly eyes kind of just, and then they looked like they never said hello. But Heather, then they cut to Heather saying, "I'm keeping it civil with Ramona," or something, but it didn't look really civil to me because she ignored her.
Right.
But, I mean, yeah, it was a little bit of a slow episode, I think.
Well, we haven't touched on
Luana.
The elephant?
Yeah.
The elephant in the room?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Luann Marona. Yeah.
Marona.
We're friends.
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about them on the bench.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
That was the most exciting part for me.
Right.
I think I've just been thinking about it so much that I assumed we talked about it already.
We have referred to it, but we didn't actually discuss it. So maybe we should do that now.
It was a little hard to follow that conversation. I felt like they just basically talked over each other the whole time. Did anybody else get that?
They
were
that's what I wrote down.
At the same time, at each other.
That's what I wrote down exactly. just talking over each other.
It was just funny. I thought their body language was very interesting. Again, made me wonder, you know, how staged and scripted that conversation was. Because I don't know about you guys, but like, say you and I have been in a huge argument and I have very ill feelings towards you, I'm not going to sit like right up on you on the bench. Like, right, Luann had her arm practically around Ramona.
It's passive aggressive body language.
I was like, you know, if I'm mad at someone, I'm going to be like this. Like,
Well, would you even bother with like the kissies and the huggies first?
No, I wouldn't. No, right? I'd be like, hey, we need to talk.
You'd be like,
and then
have
I'd sit like 5 feet away. And I'd probably want to do it across the table and not like sitting next to them on
the
bench.
Like in a park on a Sunday. Like, oh, look at the birds. And the first thing she talks about, Ramona, she doesn't, she's like, oh my God, I totally got a whiff of the, because her thing with, instead of I had a leg accident and now I've got a thing, but she's like, kids, 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 kids. First thing out of her mouth anywhere is like, I totally thought of my kids when I saw this. That's the first thing she leads with instead of hello.
Disagreed. Hey. Pinot Grigio, 99.9% of the time is what she leads with.
Yeah. Really?
Really.
Interesting. Yeah. That's true. She does walk into that lunch and go, Joe, I need a glass of Pinot Grigio right now.
All the time.
Well, she, I think their behavior, I think it's interesting, like psychologically wise, when they sit like that, it's, I think, almost like animalistic. It's like almost they're sizing each other up in a sense. It's so fake, but it's like almost like, I'm going to get this close to you because I'm going to show you that I own you. Mm-hmm. And then they, and then the other person gets even closer because it's like, oh, you want to get this close to me? I'm going to get this close to you. And we're, it's just this weird animalistic type of sizing each other up.
Maybe you're right.
And I just experienced that from high school all the time. The girls that would pick on me, it'd be like, they would get so close to me and be so sweet to me, but it was because they wanted to have power over me. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, you almost got as close to them just to let them know that, hey, you don't have the power. And let's pretend we're really liking each other right now, even though we want to and punch each other in the faces.
Right.
So it's a real like dynamic that could be studied body language wise, I think.
And that's a great observation because Luann, I think, is definitely taller than, if not all,
she's
of them,
a lot
most
taller.
Of them. And in almost every altercation that I can think of, she's pretty up close and personal, and she's usually like body forward. Mm-hmm. And she's, especially with Ramona, she tower. Ramona's like, yeah, well, she's like the little dog that's barking.
Yeah, she is.
You know, that sort of thing. So I definitely think
you have good Ramona face.
Nailed it.
Yeah. Thank you.
She did take it down a little bit in the purple eyeshadow
her
today.
Her eyes, it's just the eyes bugging out the, like, she looks like a freaked out cat or something. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. She was doing like a lot of avoidance too, because when she first met with Luann, she's like, oh, this just reminds me of Avery. And then she's talking about her manicure, you know. I got shellac, you know, and this last 3 weeks. That's a gel manicure, by the way, if anybody's interested.
Yeah, I hate that word, shellac.
Yeah, it's great. So.
Yeah, and then it went from, like, that small talk to, la, 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 like, at the same time.
I mean, their argument, the way they were speaking, it was like they're not going to get anywhere with each other because they both want to dominate the conversation. They both want to be right, and there's going to be no moving forward in that kind of language. But I will say that I like to speak my mind. I like Ramona. I do think Ramona doesn't have to apologize, but I can see where Luann's coming from, where it's like, hey, you told me I was a bad mother, and I just really don't appreciate that. And Ramona's justifying it by saying, well, you are a bad mother. But I can see why Luann would be annoyed, and as much as I think Luann is condescending, I thought that Ramona really didn't give her an opportunity to kind of explain why she was upset. And Ramona was like, you only hear one side of the conversation, but I thought Ramona also was only hearing one side of the conversation.
I agree. I agree with that. Luann was also upset saying that Ramona threatened her.
Which is so ridiculous.
Well, but when she confronts him and says, you threaten me, this again could be editing, but they froze on Ramona's face. They just froze on it. She's like, now that could be two things. That's either editing to try to make it into something it actually wasn't, or it's Ramona getting caught, because then it turned into everything except admitting or dealing with whether or not a threat was actually made. She did everything in her power to make it seem like she tried to play it off like it wasn't a threat, like it never happened. And then it was, well, I was talking about something else. It was misdirection. So I feel like at some level, nobody wants to admit that things did happen and they're talking about owning up to stuff, but neither of them is actually owning up to stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes no sense. Like,
well, Luann, later in the episode, we see with her son, who's failing French. Mm-hmm. Out of all the subjects, he has to be failing French.
That's awesome.
I thought Jock, her boyfriend, actually had a couple funny lines. He said, and I was the one who was doing his homework, which I thought was funny because he's French. And then he also, the son had said, or Jock said, French isn't really useful. It's useless.
It's a useless
unless
language,
you're
yeah.
with the girls,
right,
or something. So I thought his sense of humor was surprising to me.
Yeah,
based on the fact that he would be dating Luann, like it's just surprising.
Well, and to Ramona's point, when Luann was doing her confessional, she said, "At the end of the day, I'm like, can't you just get your homework done and take this off my plate? Like, right. you know, you're." And also, P.S. Your kids start failing.
It means
school.
Something's going on with
something's
you.
Something's going on.
Right.
Something that is a classic sign that something's going
yes,
on with your kids.
Yes.
So how about addressing it instead of just yelling at him?
It's like your kids are proving Ramona's point.
Right. Right.
Yeah, the kid's explanation was what? That he gets sidetracked?
Right. Like he does it and then he like forgets to turn in the homework.
He gets sidetracked somehow? Like what is it that's going on in your life that's getting sidetracked? However, in Luann's defense, that boyfriend Jacques, like you either keep quiet or you mount a unified front to get. Bottom line is the kid needs to be educated. So what you don't want to be doing is she's obviously already having problems raising this child. You don't want to be like, what are you talking about? You're crazy. Forget about French. This useless language. You know what I mean? Like you should be should be studying. She's right. She's your mother. Listen to her. Instead, he's like, you are ridiculous.
We have Jack in studio right now.
That's really good.
Thank you. All I'm saying is he's ridiculous for refuting. Like you're not helping anything. Either make the kid understand education important, or just shut the hell up.
I will totally be that parent that's like Jack. That's just kind of like effing around. Yeah.
My biggest issue with the son was not that he didn't speak French fluently, but that he can barely speak English. Anybody else notice his mouth? I'm like, his mouth doesn't move when he talks. I couldn't understand it. I would be like, you need English class.
Right. That's the problem. Like,
right.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal observation.
Horrible. Know who he reminded me? He reminded me of the actor who plays Deborah Messing's son in Smash.
Yes.
He doesn't move his mouth when he talks either.
Yeah, yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah. Awkward teens.
I can't do my impressions of mumbling as well as you can do your French impressions, but, you know, I tried.
No, you did great.
I'm not an actor.
Fantastic.
It was great.
Thanks.
Well, cool. I think we pretty much went over pretty much every scene.
So.
If you guys are ready to go to a commercial, we'll come back and quickly do our special segment and some news and gossip.
Sounds great.
Hey there, good buddies. The handle's Wooly Bear. I'm a truck driving man, but I'm not that old school kind of truck driving man. No, I like to listen to podcasts while I'm driving through these great United States of ours. And my favorite podcasts in the world are from AfterBuzz TV. And why? Because AfterBuzz TV is like a post-game wrap-up show for all your favorite TV shows, like Jersey Shore, Dancing with the Stars, Mad Men, and a whole truckload more. I like listening to my Gossip Girl podcast, catching up with all my fellow fans and getting all the latest news and gossip. You know, I got some strong opinions. And AfterBuzz TV lets me share those opinions with thousands of other listeners. Woo-wee! What a feeling! I used to doze off on those lonely stretches of road. And don't worry, I got the cruise control. But now I'm wide awake and listening to all the AfterBuzz TV goodness. Check them out. Give them a holler. And tell them the old Wooly Bear sent you.
That was our in-studio audience just giving us a nice round of applause. Welcome back.
Thanks, guys.
Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV. We are talking about Real Housewives of New York season five, episode two. And we're going to do our special segment for you guys right now, which I love. I think is really creative. And I love to give the honor to Anna for coming up with it.
It's called
What She Should Have Said. And this is in honor of Luann, because Luann is supposed to be a countess with a lot of etiquette, and instead she seems to be kind of a little trashy without some tact. So we've taken it upon ourselves to replace her words with ours, and other women on the show as well.
Right.
I really liked the to start with Luann's quote to Ramona.
Yes.
What other tricks do you have to pull out of your ass?
What other dirty tricks do you have to pull out of your Pinot-filled hat?
Pinot. Oh, my God. I forgot to say Pinot. That was the most important part.
Yeah.
Duh. Which is, like, the coolest thing I've ever heard.
Right.
Yeah. I loved that.
However,
it was actually a great line.
It was a great line. However.
Right. However, she could have, should have said, you know,
Anything else.
I didn't come up with the part.
I was still confused on how they just decided to say, like, okay, after all that, when nothing got resolved, and they're like, okay, friends,
it's because all these women are just out of their minds.
But, so in that regard, she could have just said, been like, okay.
Yeah.
Or something.
I mean, I really didn't. She could have just said, you know, please keep
I'll keep the drunks away.
Keep the drunks away.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
She also said, and again, I don't have really a rebuttal for any of these statements, but which is not the point of the segment, actually.
You should have changed the segment. Did you hear?
Yeah.
Oh, no, she didn't say.
Yeah. A little more sassy.
She shouldn't have said this,
Oh, no,
period.
She didn't say that. I wish you would.
Hell to the law!
Oh, yeah. I like that.
That's good.
We'll call it the hell to the no.
That was
hell to the no.
Yaramon's just really good with the impressions. That was him.
Yeah. It's totally him.
I'm a chameleon.
So Ramona also said, I only always wish you the best. And to that, Luann responded, okay. In the huskiest voice of all time. She could have said, I wish you the best as well.
Right.
Or thank you.
Right. Right.
Anything.
But okay.
Okay.
And then another thing she said, which wasn't super rude, it just was kind of delusional. She said to Ramona regarding her kids having that party. She said, why do you have spies in the Hamptons?
Spies?
It's like, okay, now you're in the kooky shop, and it doesn't make any sense. And then the last thing that I thought was really funny that they could have said was, oh, my God. God, someone else go. I don't know. I can't find it. Anyone have anything?
Were you going to bring up Heather's?
No, I was going to let somebody else do that. But I was going to throw up. Well, first of all, there's that one bit that Aviva goes, well, isn't she a singer? Ramona says, what singing career?
Right.
If you really want to let bygones be bygones, you should have just said, you should have been like, I plead the fifth or something. Instead of saying, what singing career? You mean that YouTube song? That probably wasn't the most appropriate thing to say.
But that's in Ramona's personality. I'm cool with Ramona saying that. Because it's number one,
true.
What singing career? Seriously.
Yeah. Well, then it's definitely inappropriate if you're at an LGBT, if you're at a GLAAD function representing the LGBT and you're a presenter there and you liken the LGBT acronym to bacon, lettuce, and tomato. I'm going to go ahead and say that might be slightly inappropriate.
Delicious.
Inappropriate. Sonia.
Yummo.
I'd be complimented. I'd be like, oh yeah, I smell like bacon. You better...
You better believe it, yeah.
Maybe that presenter that was there presenting Sonia might have appreciated that.
He was beautiful, and his makeup
was beautiful.
Impeccable.
I was noticing the makeup was beautiful.
Yeah. That's like, okay. See you to class here, too, buddy. Of makeup applying.
Right.
And
I guess.
Do you have one?
I guess two. What was the thing? Oh, hail to the no. Yeah, oh, hail to the no. Was when Heather...
hail to the no!
That's awesome.
When Heather said that she was raised Protestant, but now she's Jewish by injection.
Yeah.
I've literally been, like, visualizing her and her husband.
Being shot up with matzah?
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
What?
Sex. Kristen.
Oh.
Duh. Oh, by injection.
So
I had to actually show.
Well, still, it's being shot
it's
up with
gross.
Matzah.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm kidding. I had no idea that's
yeah, that's what she
that.
Meant.
Yeah.
And it's disturbing because it's like, ew, who wants a picture of Heather doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard that line and I thought immediately, Anna, unleash.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I have nothing to unleash. It's just like wholly inappropriate. And
it's unbelievable.
And she's just like so proud of it. And you know
she wants to be Jewish.
She wants to be
Jewish.
Well, no,
cool
she said, I haven't converted fully yet.
Right.
Right.
I hate,
but until
I hate
that
time.
Though.
Yeah. I don't know. Whatever. I hate. And also, like, listen, I only date Jews, but, like, Jew dick is not something to, like, brag about. Like, you know, I don't know.
I haven't heard many people brag about it. Just Heather.
Is that what you said or she said?
I'm saying.
Oh, okay. I was like, did she say that?
That would have been amazing. That would definitely have been
like,
a...
I was like, I totally missed
which,
that.
Oh, hell to the no, she should not have said that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess my last what she should have said was when Carol and Aviva were in the clothing shop and Carol was going on and on about her open relationship with Russ, Aviva just kept going, that is so cool. And what she should have said is, he's just not that into you. Like,
so
as
true.
In, like, a 2006 reference.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I just don't think he is.
Yeah.
Sorry, hon.
Yeah.
I think we'll find that out later, probably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. His demeanor with her was not as lovey-dovey as hers was with him.
She was like, oh.
Well, I do have some news and gossip if
yeah.
we want to get into that.
AfterBuzz TV News.
This just in.
This just in. So, speaking of he's just not that into you, it's really funny. They did an interview with Russ, and it turns out those songs are not about Carol.
Oh, wow.
That,
oh, hail to the
oh,
no.
wow.
That the song is, I miss being lonely when I'm with you. It's actually about New York. And
wow,
he says that, you know, he thinks of Carol when he thinks of New York, but it's actually just about New York.
That is awesome.
I dig.
And then the first song that we heard is Crazy Too, and that song's actually about a guy who had a really serious drug problem, a drug and alcohol, and it's about watching his life go down in flames. So
it's like In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins.
And it's like that, but it's definitely not close, about Carol. Wow. He is.
That's a low blow.
Really.
He will be performing in the NASA Coliseum on July 1st, and they expect that Carol will not be there. He didn't want to comment on the status of their relationship, but it's rumored that they're not seeing each other anymore.
Yeah. Where's the NASA Coliseum?
Long Island, I believe.
So he's big. He's huge.
He's with Aerosmith.
No, he tours with Aerosmith. He doesn't mean it's that he's part of the he's band. That. He's yeah. part of the road, or like he's, yeah, he's part of the like extended,
extended band.
He could be like a right. session musician, probably.
Well, right.
He's a big deal. And also, this is interesting. Bethany Frankel actually helped cast Aviva.
That was my news.
Oh, sorry.
It's all right. Do it up, sister.
You guys want to fight it out real quick?
No, I would rather not.
Yeah.
Rochambeau for it.
Listen, I announced it. Why don't you talk about it?
No. I'll add in details.
Okay, well, that's really all I have to say. I was kind of surprised because I thought Bethany was just off doing her own thing, and I'm surprised that she has her hand in this pie, finger, whatever term is.
What I thought was interesting was that Bethany Frankel said that she had recommended her a long time ago, and nothing went through with it, and they were looking to cast this, and Bethany said to Andy Cohen, why don't you take a look at my friend Aviva, or this woman Aviva. She didn't really know her that well, but she said she just seemed like she'd be a good character. She seemed like she'd be part of some drama on the show.
Right? Interesting.
So I maybe think that's she will telling.
Be. Yeah, that's definitely that prediction.
She's starting in slow.
Yeah.
And I did see, I saw the three ladies on the Today Show, and Aviva did say, like, you know, I went to some places that I didn't think I would be able to go to in terms of being dramatic and catty. So, you know, we definitely know we have that to look forward to. So on that note, we'll just transition into predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So we saw Carol in that scene, as Anna mentioned, flirting with Ramona's husband.
Hell to the no!
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's Ramona next week. So I think we're going to see drama with Ramona and Carol, which is not expected to me, you know, until that last second where we saw that. Because, of course, you know, like I've been saying, I think Carol's chill, but, you know, it could all be a facade. And that's going to be exciting.
It will be.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Yeah. I also think that because we saw Ramona not invited to London with Heather. So there's going to be some drama there. I mean, I think the whole season is just going to really be everyone hating on Ramona for some reason or something happening with Ramona. Because Aviva says, wait, you're not invited to London with Heather? And Ramona's like, mm-mm. I don't know.
No. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And then I think Luann and Ramona are obviously going to continue on their journey of love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Prediction. You know, I would love to see, as much as it would be a prediction, I would love to see either Luann or Sonia hit on or be inappropriate with Reed. So that way the theme of poor Aviva is not going to be able to go out with someone who hasn't slept with everybody else on the cast continues. I would just love to see Reed, who apparently loves the motorcycle and dirt bike, just being that. And it very well could happen. Maybe Carol will start because she loves to flirt with other people's husbands while they're in the room. I would love to see some people try to jump on Aviva's bandwagon and make Aviva feel yet again threatened.
That's some imagination you've got.
I worked on it every day. Thanks, Phil.
I think that we're going to see, I predict, we're going to see Carol be really inappropriate with men and maybe even hear that she has slept with somebody's husband or significant other
at some point.
And I also predict that Ramona is going to reach out to Jill Zarin.
Wow. Wow. Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Have you seen any like mention of Jill talking about that on Twitter or anything? Very interesting.
Nope.
Well, I'm going to hold you to
it. Intuitive. It's just intuitive.
I'm holding you to it.
The force spoke to you. Yeah. Okay.
Molly, anything?
My predictions?
Yeah.
I don't really have any strong predictions right now.
Yeah.
I just have hopes, and I hope that I hope that Carol gets. I honestly do hope that she gets involved with somebody's husband, because I think that'll create great drama. And right now, she's kind of drama free.
Yeah,
and I think that'd be fun.
But we all know drama free is not good.
It's not good TV.
That's true.
Way to be. Yeah. Well, thanks for listening. If you guys want to go ahead and give out your Twitter and things like that so people can follow us.
Oh, sure. Hi, everybody. You can follow me at Yermangur, Yermangur.
I'm Anna Koppel. You can find me here on Sundays at 6 o'clock on AfterBuzz, 6 Pacific Standard Time, doing Chicago Mob Wives. You can also follow me on Twitter at Koppel for Mayor, KOPPELFORMAYOR.
And I'm Molly Harper. You can find me at mollyharpercomedy.com and on Twitter at mollycomedy.
And I am Kristen Carney. I want to say thanks again to everyone on iTunes listening and YouTube as well. If you guys want to rate and comment, that would be extra special. You can find me on Twitter, only on Twitter, because I live inside of it. It's a very cold existence, but Twitter.com/
It's going to be okay.
Saying that. Kristen Carney, KRISTENCARNEY. And go to my blog, SweatTheSmallStuffWithKristen.com. And until next week, we will be seeing you then.
Absolutely.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.